Let us turn again to the chapter that we read together in the Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 3, and let us read again at verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Well, in looking at these verses, there's a reference to what we ask or think. And that is put in comparison with what the Lord is able to do. And if we go back to ourselves for a moment, then what we are to say is, that's limited, very limited. What we ask, our prayers are limited. And no doubt one of the purposes for these verses being written is to encourage us to ask for large things, for great things, great blessings. When the provision is so wonderfully great, what we can ask, what we can feel like asking, or feel that it's reasonable to ask, that in our unbelief is so limited. And what we think is so limited. We're sinners. Sin has affected our thinking. Sin has affected everything about us. And even if by God's grace, we have been made able to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, still, the degree of faith that we have is limited. Limited by our inadequacy. Limited by our fallen condition. Even if that has been repaired, we're still imperfect. But if that work, that good work of regeneration and what follows on from it has been begun in the Lord's mercy, it will continue. Where the Lord has begun a good work, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will carry it on. Now that's a wonderful thing in itself. That's part of the exceeding abundance above what we can ask or think, that ever a sinner would reach eternal glory. Is there not a wonder in that? And there is. And there is in it what will keep the people of God in heaven going forever and ever. There will not come a time. So we're speaking about eternity. That's all that we can understand. There will never come a time when people will stop and say, I can't think what I should praise God for today. No. The work of God, the Holy Spirit in the soul will keep praising alive forever and ever. There will never come an end to the activity of praise that goes on in the souls of those who are brought to heaven. But there are three things I would like to speak about particularly. and especially the second of these points. The first is the foundation for the blessings that are spoken of. Second, we will try to say something about the exceeding greatness of the blessings. And in the third place, we will try to speak about the praise, the glorying that takes place within the church, particularly in heaven, throughout all ages, world without end. Now you see, we ask and we think, at least it's good if we do, but everything is so far beyond our asking and thinking. And that's what's brought out here so forcefully. And we'll try and come to that. The wonder which should leave us praising. It should leave us going out of this church this evening praising God. And that praising should go on. We read the command to pray without ceasing. Well, those who have the grace to praise God, they are to do that without ceasing. And they will go on doing that, world without end. That's what we have. And may the Lord bless it to our souls. May we get some good for our souls from our meditation here this evening. First, the foundation for these blessings. Second, the exceeding greatness of the blessings. And third, the eternity of praise. First then, we're sinners. We're far off from God by nature. And there's blessings here which come to sinners. Now, on what basis can we have these blessings? Well, it's a great fact that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to save guilty sinners. You can take it in these words in chapter 5 at verse 2, that Christ has given himself for us, for those who have believed. He has given himself for them that they might have that blessing of believing. Given himself an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. Now, without spending long on this, you just let me refer to the expression, a sweet-smelling savour. That was said of the sacrifice that Noah offered up after the flood. No doubt there was a great deal of thanksgiving in offering that sacrifice, and no doubt in connection with it, there was a great deal of confession. In the face of the great deliverance that he and his family had been given, yet he would say, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve this. What I deserved was to be cut off with everyone else by the flood, but that's not what happened. I received mercy, said Paul. I received mercy, very likely Noah said. I received mercy. I was so far off, and yet there were blessings prepared for me. And there was the blessing of being delivered from the flood, preserved for another day, preserved for many years. Yes, that was the goodness of God to Noah and his family. The world, the inhabitants of the world were not completely cut off. But you see, he felt the need to offer a sacrifice. And we as sinners should be feeling our need of a sacrifice. Where will we find one? Well, on one level we may say we'll find it in the Word of God. We find that Christ Jesus, as I've quoted already from chapter 5, Christ gave himself for an offering for sinners, for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savior. Now, I was going to comment on that expression. I said I would. A sweet-smelling savior. That was said about Noah's sacrifice. God was satisfied with the sacrifice. You know yourselves, something nice is cooking in the kitchen. And you come on your way to the kitchen and you say, that smells nice. It's a meal you expect to enjoy. Now you see, what it's saying is that in connection with Noah's sacrifice, and in connection more especially with the sacrifice of Christ, the Lord was pleased with it. The Lord was satisfied. It turned away his wrath, his anger, his punishment from sinners. Yes, we need a sacrifice. And we need to pray for a sacrifice, as it were, or at least that we would get a blessing for the sake of a sacrifice. The sacrifice of Christ, of course, is Christ's. That's the sacrifice. That's the acceptable sacrifice. And if people were bringing a sacrifice to the temple, then they might well say, will the Lord accept this sacrifice? Will the Lord be pleased with this sacrifice? Will the Lord take away my sin on the basis of this sacrifice? Yes. And I'm not going to pursue that. But what I say is that all the blessings we may get and all the blessings that we should seek, they are for the sake of Christ, who offered himself up as a sacrifice to God, so that sinners might be reconciled to God. That's why we are called to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be saved. To trust in Christ as the one who offered himself up as a sacrifice that the Lord accepted. A sacrifice that the Lord accepted. Yes. And on the basis of that sacrifice, there's this. On the basis of that sacrifice, there's the work of Christ in making intercession. The work of Christ in presenting the blessings he has purchased in his death. The Savior, as it were, coming before the Father, presenting the merits of his sacrifice and saying, perhaps, let these blessings be poured. Well, let us take as an example on the sinners in Jerusalem. When Peter and the other disciples will go out to preach, let there be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that's on the basis of what Christ has done. Yes. And think of Christ as a priest upon his throne. In other words, Christ is a king. And he is carrying on his priestly work and his intercession while the world will stand. He is carrying on his priestly work. His kingly work in ruling over everything, in bringing these blessings to bear on the needs of those that he would relieve. The blessings of salvation, for instance. And what I'm trying to establish just now is that these blessings have a foundation. And what is that foundation? And of course, it is the work of Christ in this world and the continuing work of Christ as prophet, priest and king in glory. Yes. And then again, recognizing how great Christ is, and how these blessings are altogether beyond what we ask or think. There's the question to Jeremiah, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And it's in that spirit that we should be thinking and asking as we go on through this world. Because of the greatness of the work of Christ in this world, and because of the greatness of the ongoing work of Christ from his throne in heaven, and all blessings coming on the basis of the work of Christ, we should be asking to encourage us to go beyond what we have already been asking or thinking. We're to be asking, is anything too hard for the Lord? And manifestly, the answer to that question is no. He said it himself to Jeremiah, but in the form of a question. And then when Jeremiah is praying, he is saying that there is nothing too hard for the Lord. And we should take that with us. We should take that with us when we go to the throne of grace. In other words, when we pray. We should take that with us. There's nothing too much to ask for. Now, we might ask for things that are not good for us. Well, the Lord, if he is acting towards us in mercy, will not give us what is not good for us. But if we're not going against Scripture, then it's not wrong to ask. Yes. But you see, we should appreciate one of the great blessings of God in connection with prayer. And that is that he, as it were, filters out many a petition that would not be for our good and that would not be for his glory to answer. That's the thing. Is it for God's glory? Well, and yet, of course, there's the example of the Israelites, and he gave them what they sought, but to their souls he didn't assent. And there was something wrong with their prayers then. Yes. When he gave them what they sought, it wasn't for their good. Oh, how we should be asking that the Lord in his mercy would filter out our petitions which would not be for our good, and that we would be willing to submit to that. And let us remember this, that God is faithful to his promises. He is abundant in goodness and truth. God not only speaks truth, but he speaks in a way that is consistent to what he has said. He is true to his promises. He is true to his revelation. Yes. And oh, we could go much further if we would think it out. But I want to move on. I want to move on to this, the exceeding greatness of the blessings. It's the one. We are coming to one, to the one. That is, if we are acting, if we're coming with believing prayer, it's coming to the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Notice the piling up of words to show us how great God is, and how great God is in his answers to prayer, how great God is in his dealings with sinful human beings, and particularly in those human beings who have been rescued from their sins and from the sinful condition into which they were born. See how great he is in dealing with sinners. Now I've got 3 points under this second main head. And the first of them is that the Lord is exceeding abundantly. He acts exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think when we are seeking salvation. The Lord, that's a sinner, and get some inkling of this, I need salvation. Some inkling of this, I need salvation. But my sin is so great, the person might say. My sin is so serious, and I can't get rid of my sin. There's the thinking. There's what might bring about an asking. Is there any hope? Well, of course there is. And there is hope because the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above what that person asks or thinks. See, we're not to be unbelieving in our asking. We're not to be unbelieving in our thinking. The Lord is very much able to go beyond what we ask or what we think. He is infinite in his goodness, infinite in his willingness to bless. See, the man that came saying to the Savior, if thou wilt, if he was willing, he was able. He was able to put him right. But is the Lord willing? That may be the question. Is the Lord willing to save me, a sinner? Ah, but he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. But to go a step further, what are you thinking about God? What are you thinking about his willingness to bless? Well, whatever you are thinking, go a step further. And if you take that further step, go another step further. Take 3 steps further. Or whatever number I would pick, it doesn't matter. It's the idea that matters here. What are you thinking? What are you thinking of God? What are you asking from God? He is able to do exceeding abundantly above that. There's nothing too much to ask for God, from God. You may ask for what is inappropriate, but you see, let us be asking. He is able. Let us put ourselves into his hands. You might be asking, how do I know what to ask? How far should I go and ask? Well, here's one answer. Ask the Lord to lead you on and to stop you before you get onto inappropriate territory. If you begin seeking a great place for yourself above other people, you're going too far. But if you ask for all the blessings that the Lord is considered it good to give you. He is infinitely good. He is infinitely kind. He is infinitely wise. You see, we're safe in asking the Lord to bless us. He knows what will be a blessing and he knows what will not be a blessing. He is able to distinguish and he is able to bless accordingly. Yes, the salvation that he offers to sinners, it's wonderfully great. It's a salvation for sinners. A salvation for sinners that have gone far away from him. And he comes to them. Comes to that ignorant man in charge of the prison in Philippi. He comes to his ambassador Paul and Silas. And he causes them to say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we come into the territory of what is exceeding abundantly above what we might ask or think. Thou shalt be saved. Saved from all the penalty due to sin. Saved from all the uncleanness and filthiness and impurity. And in particular in connection with that jailer, there might be a temptation to say, he must have been a relatively good man. He could never have been someone who went after all the particular sins that were rife in Philippi. Well, who knows? But it's not likely that he was better than anyone else. But they just said what they would have said to anyone. Because it was suitable, because it was the mind of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt they had to tell him who Christ was, the Son of the Eternal God. But believe in him, trust in him. You need to be saved. The Lord has taught you that. He may be saved. Well, believe in Christ, trust in him. No doubt they told him about the cross and the rising from the dead, ascending to heaven and sitting down on the right hand of God, but he is making continual intercession. Continual intercession for poor, needy sinners who cannot do anything for themselves. They are at the end of their tether, so to speak. They can't go any further. Yes, but the Lord is able. Able to save sinners far away from God. Yes. And you see, you have this in Isaiah 55. Let the wicked forsake their way, his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. The sinner might think it would be good if all these outward sins were removed. But still that person is left with all the sins of the heart. What hope then is he will abundantly pardon. Let us go this evening in all our spiritual need to the one who can pardon abundantly. There's no limit to it. A complete cleansing. Well, you might think of people whose job it is to clean houses. And they might go to this house and they open the door. They're just shocked at what they see. Everything's so dirty. Dirt has got piled up in the corners, and perhaps not just in the corners. And perhaps they say, we're not going to take this on. It's far too filthy. Require far too much effort. Ah, well, is that the way the Lord looks on the sinner? Is that the way the Lord would have looked at the jailer when he's coming to his representative or representatives, Paul and Silas? No. Paul and Silas tell him to go. To go to Christ with his sins. To go to Christ with his filthiness. And he has never turned anyone away, as we read. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The one that comes, the one that believes, the one that looks to Christ, he will never be turned away. Sinner, is that for you? I can't tell who might be in most need of these words, who might be in most need, feel most in need of a Savior. But the thing I have to say is, there is a Savior. A Savior that will not turn away anyone who comes. And if you say you cannot come, you cannot believe, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you ask or think. Look to him in the light of God's word. Come, however great your feeling of need is, however great your sense of sin is, come to Christ. He will not cast you away. He is able to save you to the uttermost. Yes. He is making intercession. Remember that. Remember not only what Christ did at Calvary. Remember what he is doing now in terms of his intercession, which indicates his willingness to save sinners. Yes. And if it is holding you back, there are things that you would have to give up if you were to be converted. You find it difficult to give them up. Satan might be telling you that it is impossible for you to do without. It might be particular entertainments. It might be something you are doing wrong, whatever it is. He is able to do exceeding abundantly for you, beyond what you ask or think. There was a king in Judah, and he had hired in a considerable number of mercenaries to fight for him. And the prophet came to him and told him, let them go. Let them go. The Lord wouldn't bless him in his going out to battle if these men were part of his army. Idolaters. But you see, what will I do for the amount of money that he had paid for their services? What will I do? The answer is, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And if you are here, and there is something keeping you back from seeking Christ, if there is something keeping you from turning away from your sin, well, remember, the Lord is able to give you exceeding abundantly more, well beyond what you ask or think. Put it all away that is keeping you from Christ, whatever it may be. The Lord is able. You look to him. Look to Christ Jesus as the one who died to save sinners like you. The one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you think you need. Above what you think you cannot do without. Come, sinner, to Christ. Come away from your sin. Leave it all behind. Look, seek for the grace of God. Seek for his almighty power. Seek to the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you ask or think. Now, coming to a further point. It's what the Lord is able to do in the life of the believer. What is he able to do? Exceeding abundantly above what the askers think. These are people that have faith, but faith may be weak. But ask the Lord to increase your faith. Ask him to draw you by almighty power. Remember that the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you ask or think. Oh, look to the greatness of what Christ has done. Look to the greatness of who Christ is, the Son of God, who became man. Look to him. Do not turn away from him. Do not faint as if he was not able to help you. He is able to help you, and to an extent that is altogether above what you ask or think. See what we had in Psalm 31. How great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. If we look at it in New Testament times, then we might say, in connection with what Christ did, that he opened up treasure houses, and he went into heaven to fill them. To fill them with the merits of what he had done in this world. And what is a sinner doing when they ask according to what they think? The Savior is going to his treasure house and taking out what will be of help to them. He takes out what will be of help to his children who come to beg, say, for bread, or whatever it may be that they feel the need of. Begging for spiritual blessings in particular. Begging for more faith. Begging for more earnestness at the throne of grace. Is he able to answer these prayers? Yes, and he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what they ask or think. Far more. You see, the treasure houses in heaven, they are far bigger than we can possibly imagine. The blessings laid up in store for sinners are far greater than we can imagine. Yes. And he goes to a poor, weak sinner, feeling unbelief and feeling the power of sin, feeling the power of temptation. And they go in weakness to the throne of grace and they ask for a little blessing. What should they ask for? Greater blessings, ever greater blessings, for they are coming to the one who is able to do exceeding abundantly above what they ask or think. Now, what we need, of course, is that the Holy Spirit would apply these truths to us so that we would put them into effect, as it were. That we would not be holding back in our prayers. That we would not be saying, I'm asking for too much. I don't deserve it. Well, of course, the great point about prayer is, and the answer to prayer is, that the blessing is far greater than we ask or think. Let us not hold back. Let us not say, I would ask for this, I would ask for that. And then there's a qualification. As if God, as if Christ was not able to supply these needs. Yes. But he is. There's no limit. That's what we are to believe. There's no limit to what he is able to do. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. And perhaps it comes into someone's mind. I would ask but I haven't the faith to ask for great things. My faith cannot rise to that. Oh, go and ask. It's not the exceeding greatness of your faith. That's not the critical point. It's the exceeding greatness of the divine generosity. God's goodness. The exceeding greatness of God's goodness. Thou art able. Now that's a good phrase to use in our petitions. To use sincerely if we've got grace to do that. Thou art able. And there are many a statement in the Word of God. If I can just take as an example, which more properly belongs to the next point, and that is the Church of God. But if we are thinking of the words of David, the petition of David, and these petitions in the Word of God, we're very safe if we make use of them. And the one I'm thinking of is this. Let the whole earth be filled with God's glory. And you may take a look at the world and its wickedness, its unbelief, its secularity, and all that is wrong with this generation. And you can say, how, at least in this generation, how can the whole earth be filled with the glory of God? But take another look. Take a look in another direction. Take a look at the fullness of blessing that there is in the storehouses of the New Testament, Joseph. Take a look at what God has revealed himself, what God has revealed about himself, and what Christ, what is revealed about Christ, and say, it's not too much to ask. If David had faith to speak in these terms, so should I. When I should know better the greatness of the person that came into the world to save sinners, and that is the Son of God who took our need. It's not too much to us. Nothing is too much to us. However the Lord may answer our prayers, and when the Lord may answer our prayers, that's another matter. Yes. And see this, at verse 12, speaking of Christ, he says, Paul says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, by the faith of Christ. We have access. Can I get in? If you're thinking of trying to get your rights from the government, say, there might be a question, can I get in, especially in corrupt countries? Can I get in? Can I find somebody who will listen to me? Ah, well, think of Christ. Can I get in? Of course, the way to the throne of grace is open. We are to come boldly, that we might obtain mercy. Oh, it's mercy. Remember that. It's not according to our works. It's not according to our godliness. It's all according to what Christ is and what Christ has done. And there's no limit to that. That is why he can do exceeding abundantly. But you see, just now, the point is this. Access. Access comes with believing. When the sinner believes in Christ in the beginning, faith may be very weak. And there may be a feeling of the weakness of faith all the way along. But sinner saved by grace, you have access. You have a right of access. Now that may very often be limited, and speaking in general. How can you get to a certain house? There's fences all the way round it. There's guard dogs at every entrance. I can't get access. And I need access to the person who lives there. That I might get something I have a right to say. I can't get access. How can I get to? Well, we'll not pursue that any further. But you see, the people of God are being told they have access. A right of access. They can come to the door. They can knock on the door. They can knock on the door in that prayer. Yes. And Christ will come out, as it were, and say, sinner, what are you asking? What do you want? What are you needing? Tell me what you are needing. Well, go to him. For the sake of what he has done. And because there is an open door that sinners may come to and sinners may get a hearing. Go to the throne of grace that you might get a hearing. Go to the one who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. But we better move on. And the final one of these three sub-points, let me just go over them. The first was to do with finding salvation for the first time. The second was to do with the continuing Christian life. And the third one is in relation to the church. The church of God is very weak today. Can it be strengthened? Or will it just continue in terminal decline? No. It's not finished. There's still great things to be done for the sake of Christ. Yes, and we can ask, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make known and wrath remember mercy. There you have Habakkuk. Oh, many, I'm sure, have taken up that petition. And we would do well to be taking it up. Even in a day when things are as dark and gloomy as they are. In a day when it is so unlikely that the church of all of God will ever go stronger. But that's to look at it in terms of what we might ask or think. We're to go beyond that. We're to take large petitions to the throne of grace, that the whole earth, put it in that way again, that the whole earth would be filled with God's glory. Yes. Remember what the Savior was saying. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 3. That the Lord is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Perhaps there were lots of stones, as he might get any number of stones and a beach. And you say, how can these stones be brought to life? Well, of course, the stones will not be brought to life. But the hard-hearted sinners that the Savior was speaking about, they may be brought to life. And may need tremendous power. But you see, the power is there. Christ is the power. Christ can send the Holy Spirit. And however dismal the outlook might be in connection with the Church of God, he is able to raise up from these stones, the stones on a long beach. And that's the comparison. Make the comparison with the people in the street on a Sabbath day. They have no intention of going to church. They're only interested in their shopping or their entertainment or whatever it might be. The Lord is able of these stones, spiritually speaking, to raise up children unto Abraham, to raise up true believers. Let us not consider that impossible. Oh, what need we have of that prayer? Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Yes. And there's that great promise. In the last chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, God will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The church in Rome, where there was so much ungodliness, so much idolatry, so much brutality, and with Satan behind it all, what is the Lord able to do? He's able to bruise Satan. That was in Rome. And there's been many a huge error and much great idolatry in Rome since then. And again, we say, with Satan behind it all, but the Lord is able. No limit to that. What he is able to do is to bring sinners to himself, to subdue Satan, to put a restraint. Yes. Let us not be restrained in our prayers. Yes. Even as we are told that the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea, as you have it in Isaiah chapter 11. Yes, and everything that the Lord will yet do in connection with his church, he will do it in a way that is altogether more glorifying to himself than even the people of God can imagine. But briefly again, the last point, the eternity of praise. And I'm thinking particularly of verse 21. And to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Not just in this life. Not until the end of the ages on earth, but world without end. That's eternity. That's eternity in heaven. Oh, what an opportunity the people of God will have. And the people of God who as to their souls have been brought to into heaven already. What an endless opportunity. To be praising God. What endless opportunity. Yes. How great's the goodness thou for them that fear thee keepst in store, and rods for them that trust in thee, the sons of men before. So it's not just in heaven, but it's in this world. Yes. When the Lord does wonderful things for them, bringing them into his kingdom, when the Lord does wonderful things in leading them on and revealing himself to them over again and giving them a sense that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what they ask or think. What reason to praise in this world? What reason to praise in another world? Yes, that the Lord is able to give us that grace to praise him. Yes. If we go back to chapter 1 at verse 5, we find this, that the people of God have been predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It is this endless purpose, going back, beginningless purpose, perhaps I could say, in what he was purposing to do, adopting sinners into his holy family, making them fit to be members of that holy family and to be brought at last into heaven forever. But you see, it's to the praise of the glory of His grace. To the praise of the glory of His grace. That's what you have. The grace of God is a glory about it. He takes glory from His kindness, His spiritual kindness especially. And He is to be praised for it. And He will give grace to sinners to praise for the great work of salvation and the adoption into His family. That's just one aspect of it. It's a great and wonderful aspect of it. And when people reflect on that, and all the blessings surrounding their adoption, what reason to praise God, and how they will praise God for it and for all related blessings when they are brought at last to heaven. Yes, and again, there's this, that as the people of God praise, they will say, as you have in Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to Thy name be the glory. Yes. The glory, the praise is to be to God. It's to be to Christ, not to ourselves. Whatever we might do, it's all by God's grace. If we believe in Christ, if we make progress in the way of salvation, it's not to us that the glory is to be given. It's to Christ, it's to God, it's to the Holy Spirit. The wonderful work of God in making provision for the salvation of sinners. And it goes on in eternity. It goes on in heaven. And we are that snatch, as it were, of the praise that is given to God in heaven. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Praising of Christ. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things. And for Thy pleasure they are. For Thy pleasure they exist, we might say. And for Thy pleasure they were created. It's all for the glory of God. When we are to seek a place among those who will spend eternity praising God, whose hearts will be renewed so that that will be made natural to them. Yes. And we are to look to Christ and try and enter into the great work that He accomplished in this world and the great work that is going on from His throne in glory. And we are to seek to be drawn out to the work of the Holy Spirit. We're to be asking for that so that we might cry earnestly and sincerely to the Lord. And one thing we might say, and it sums up a great deal, is this, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. His mercy is great, exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. And the provision is exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. And so, let us be asking that the Lord would give us blessings, great blessings, beyond what we can possibly expect. May the Lord bless His word to us. Let us pray. Have mercy, Lord, keep us from evil. Be Thou our God and our guide forever. Work wonderfully. Do us good. Oh, may we be crying to Thee as one who is unlimitedly powerful, unlimitedly gracious. Oh, do us good. Do not leave us to ourselves. May with these thoughts, limited though they were, And yet, there were thoughts taken directly from thy word. And there's no limit to the abundant meaning of them. But Lord, may we be trying to think of them. And though they take us so far beyond what we ask or think, may we be seeking to follow up in the light of thy word and to be pleading with. Give us grace to pray. Pardon our sin. Make us thankful. Remember all who are in need. Do us good for Jesus' sake. Amen.